Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What if I told you everything you know about the world is wrong? What if I told you that all the things you believe to be impossible are in fact very much possible? Reality is not what you think it is. It is so much more complicated, fascinating, and above all, terrifying. We are at the fringes of the map, and there's more than just dragons.
The group sorts itself out as Carson Summer, the Oklahoma farm boy. He's kind of like way out in the front, kind of like a scout. And then it's the majority of the group with Samson Knapp leading up the back, the illiterate man. You've kind of got Summer and Knapp at either end of the formation, and they're trying to make sure that no one sneaks up on you, that you don't walk into an ambush or that someone doesn't come up from behind.
I appreciate that.
Whereabouts would you like to be? Would you like to be walking next to anyone in particular?
Who have I talked? I'm going to try to stick near Vargas, I think.
Vargas is pretty dead center of the pack. As you're walking, the sergeant starts moving through the formation, and you hear him just pulling up each individual soldier and telling them to make sure that they keep Vargas safe. He's the engineer. He needs to finish this mission.
I offer him a cigarette, and I go, everybody is very concerned about your safety, Corporal, and so I think it's in my best interest to stick close to you.
Vargas nods. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure, you know? I'll try to live up to the expectations, I suppose. It's nice, though. Nice knowing you're wanted, he says.
Yeah. This is definitely a time you would like to be a priority person.
Yeah. Look, I know at least the sergeant's going to jump on a grenade for me. I don't know if the rest of them will.
Hey, we could only hope that the lieutenant steps on a mine, right?
Yeah, maybe he'll step. Maybe he'll get pushed, you know? Who knows?
Perish the thought. So you said you've been training a couple of weeks on these Akuzids?
Mm-hmm. Did you have a question about them? I guess they're public knowledge now.
But yeah, you see, I caught a look at the schematic when I was in the lieutenant colonel's office. Mm. So you got seismic monitors, transmitters, transceivers, audio monitors. Mm-hmm. So what, you plant them in the ground and they tell you who's in the tunnels?
So there are two main types. There's the bomb, the air-dropped ones, which are dropped by either bombers, but more typically a helicopter. Just a guy leaning out the side will drop it. And they're meant to deploy a parachute, which helps them safely land. And then you want to try and get them set in the ground somehow. Once they're set in the ground, they're kind of hidden, not perfectly so. But then they have a seismic detector, which should hopefully find tunnels. And they have audio detectors, which if anyone moves near them. The lieutenant colonel said that they can tell a man from a car, but I don't know if that's true.
Seems like sophisticated.
They're sophisticated.
Stuff.
They're sophisticated, but this ain't Star Trek. A reference I can make. I don't know how effective these things are. Look, the 2 weeks I learned about. Look, to be fair, I only have 2 weeks. Obviously, the lieutenant colonel's got years under his belt. But if these things give actionable intelligence, I'll eat my shoes.
Now, that's the other thing that I was interested in finding a little bit more about. Don't you think it's unusual that, and I mean no disrespect by any of this, a Navy man with 2 weeks of familiarity with these particular bits of equipment here is brought into an Army operation where they don't have anyone within the Army who has more than just a couple of weeks of familiarity with these things?
If I were to guess, And I'm not much of a betting man, but if I were to bet and if I were to guess, I would say that I was the dregs that they got.
You mean everybody associated with this project is gone? Like everybody?
Maybe.
I know that they lost the last team, but it just it seems weird that there's no redundancy here.
Look, there's a limited amount of, to be fair, there's a limited amount of repairs that can be made to these things. A lot of my job is going to be assessing whether or not it's just worth ditching it and getting a new one. It's very possible that it's going to be broken beyond repair. If I can repair them, I will. I got an electrical degree underneath my belt, so I know some stuff. The two-week training course is just to get me up to speed on these specific devices, you know?
Gotcha. Like I said, I mean no disrespect. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of what's going on
here. None taken. That's all right. Look, hey, you're here to ask questions, I guess, aren't you?
I'm professionally nosy.
Oh, by the way, unrelated note, you have completely healed that 2 points of bashing. It's been a couple hours at least.
Yeah, oh, I rotate the shoulder when I realize that I'm not quite in so much pain, and I show him the bruise. Like, I pull the flak jacket aside and show him the bruise. They'll be like, hey, check it out. I ain't even been here all day. I've already been shot.
They're going to give you a purple heart, he says?
I got a purple shoulder.
He laughs. As he laughs, the sergeant, shh.
I'm going to light another cigarette.
After maybe like 4-5 hours, the sun is about to start setting and the formation has pulled up and you've made like a little defensive circle. The lieutenant and the sergeant are having a conversation. Would you like to be in on that conversation? Would you like to be with someone else?
I think I'm going to go and hear what they're talking about.
As you approach, you hear like a click, click, and you see that Bob has taken a photo of the sergeant and the lieutenant.
Nice one, Bobby. Pulitzer.
They've got, in between them, they've got a map laid out. The sergeant has like a little torch that he's shining on the map. The torch has, it's got a red light filter to prevent the light from going too far and being seen by enemy eyes. And in the red glow, the map laid out shows two positions marked on it. And then a little red X for where the Akusid is. One of the marks is really close to it. The other one is really far. The lieutenant gestures at the mark that's really far and says, well, if you assume that that rock formation over there is that rock formation over there, and then he points off to your west, then you would have to say that we cannot be that close to the first Akusid. The sergeant replies, sir, we passed that rock formation a few hours ago. That other rock formation is too small to be this one. We're here. We're really close. If we push on, we might be able to get to the first Akusid before night falls. I do not particularly care what you think, Sergeant. I am telling you what to do. We are back here, and we are going to rest so that we are not marching through the night. Are you going to say or do anything?
Gotta agree with the colonel on this one. I as slyly as possible, shoot a little wink and like a thing over to the sergeant.
You give that sly wink and a nudge towards the sergeant, and the sergeant, you could see it, this is visibly draining to him, but he like closes his eyes, sighs, and nods. All right, then we'll bunk down for the night.
You play cards, Lieutenant?
I do not play cards while on mission. This is a highly inappropriate time to be distracted. I don't want you distracting the soldiers either.
No, that's why I came here to talk to you. I figured those men, they don't need the distraction, but you got the burden of command. Figured you'd like to talk to another gentleman of station.
All right, I'm going to make that a persuasion manipulation check, and I'm going to give you a +1 for a total of 5.
Wow.
You're massaging his ego, and I'm going to reward that. You get one success. The lieutenant looks around and says, well, all right, Dan. Maybe we could play just for fun a few rounds.
Yeah, just for fun. We'll play with matches, not for money. I'm gonna play to lose again.
I'll get you to make a deception manipulation check, which is 4. I keep saying I'll get you to make. I will make.
Whatever.
Oh my god. 4 successes, 3 rerolls. Jesus. Calm down, dude. How much do you want to lose?
I mean, we're not playing for money, right? He said we're just playing for fun.
I mean, like, when I say how much do you want to lose, I mean, like, do you want to be like, never win a single hand, or do you want to be like, ooh, it's a bit tit for tat?
I'd like to win a couple up in front and get cocky and then start losing hard.
Okay. Well, you do that. It's perfect. Yeah. The lieutenant is none the wiser. As you do that, you chat.
Yeah, I'd chuckle and be like, I'm glad you said that we weren't playing for money because you'd be cleaning me out.
Yeah, my daddy taught me everything I know about cards. Texas Hold'em's my game, but I can play regular style if needed.
Yeah. By the way you're playing, I bet your family invented Hold'em. So, we pretty close to this, the first Accused?
We're close enough, but it's better to back down from that. We don't want to... Charlie owns the Nat around here, and we do not need to run into him.
Hey, listen, the neighborhood I grew up in was tough enough at night. I'm not wandering around this jungle in the dark.
That makes a lot of sense to me. I wish the sergeant saw it that way.
Listen, sergeant's probably intimidated by, officer coming out of the academy, out here into the jungle with all these guys, and he's, he doesn't know what to think of you yet. You're an intimidating presence.
That I am.
You got guys, like, what do you do in a situation like this? You send guys out on, like, to patrol around where we're staying, make sure that the jungle is clear, whatever. I don't know. I gotta write this stuff down. I'm just a civilian.
Standard procedure has us establishing a defensive position. We will dig in here like ticks on a moose, or a deer, actually. Maybe I'll pick an animal closer to where I live. We'll dig in here like ticks on a deer. And we will establish a defensive perimeter, make sure that no one can slip in through during the night, make sure that we are protected while we sleep. You want to put that perimeter a little bit further away from the camp than you might think, just to make sure that we catch anyone well ahead of them finding the camp.
I'm going to look at the map.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'd like to do is look at the place where the sergeant has said that we are.
Yeah.
And see how far from there the first Accused is.
Mm-hmm.
And then see if, like, point to approximately that distance in that direction from where the lieutenant thinks we are.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, so like, approximately how far out do they patrol? And I just kind of circle, like, in that area. Like, I wouldn't feel comfortable having anybody any closer than, like, that to us out here in the dark like this.
I would say, that would be a fair perimeter to place.
Sounds good.
Like, it's a little bit more complicated than that, though.
Oh, do tell.
You don't worry about that. You leave that. Well, I would. You obviously want to delegate. You don't want to be everywhere. You can't be everywhere. So I would delegate. I would send maybe one of the corporals, one of the sergeant, have them buddy up with one of the privates, send them around.
Heck, it would really teach that sergeant a lesson if you made him do it. Mouthing off to you the way he's been.
Fuck. We're not giving... So the way experience works in World of Darkness is you get awarded experience for good role-playing and stuff like that. I am not doing experience in this game. But if I had, God, there have been like... This is like the third time now where I'm like, fuck, that's good. Damn, dude. But this is another one of those times. The lieutenant nods and says, you know what? You're fucking right. Sergeant. The sergeant turns around. I am sending you off to do a little bit of a reconnaissance, a little bit of a scout in the area, securing our position. You were to take Private Holman, and I want you to do a little sweep of the area. Make sure no one's smelling up our asses and whatnot.
Hey, you mind if I send Bob with him?
No, of course. Send a photographer with you. Have him snap some happy photos of you.
Yeah, I give him
something to send back to the family.
I give him a little. I give the lieutenant like a wink and a tap at the side of the nose, and I go, "Night pictures, they're the best."
The sergeant nods, and then you see he looks at Orson Vargas, who has not been selected for this duty. And Orson Vargas looks back at the sergeant, and you see, without the lieutenant saying, Orson Vargas mouths, "Bring it back."
Yeah, yeah.
The sergeant nods and heads off.
Well, that's about all the beating I can take at cards in one night.
Yeah, I think I am getting thoroughly tired myself. I think it is time to kip in for it.
Yeah, maybe we'll play again tomorrow night.
Mayhaps.
I gotta win back some of my. I gotta win back a little bit of my honor.
How else are you gonna light your cigarettes?
Good night, Lieutenant.
Good night. And with that, you climb into everyone's brought. Like in your rucksacks, you have sleeping bags and stuff. Everyone climbs into their sleeping bags. Well, yeah. You two climb into your sleeping bags. Obviously, a watch is set and such.
Right. As I get away from the lieutenant, I let out a big sigh of relief because steering that guy is a pain in the ass.
Orson maybe like slides on over next to you and nods at you and says, "Thank you."
Yeah. Listen, I'm out here risking my life for this story. I gotta have something to report when I get back.
Not much time passes, and then the sergeant has returned. In his arms, he is cradling a long, silver, cigarette-shaped object with stabilizing fins at one end. It quite obviously is a bomb of some sort.
Hmm.
You can see that the front end, where the bomb would fall, as it were, the tip of the bomb has kind of broken open a little bit, but it doesn't look like it's completely broken apart. There's like little hatches that you can see are obviously meant to come away, and something's meant to happen. You don't know exactly what, but it looks like this thing failed to deploy properly.
And this is still the middle of the night. Like this guy came back from that and I'm just awake and this happens.
You would have definitely noticed because McGlade has not been quiet and he is indeed trying to wake up Vargas, who was
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Falling asleep.
Got it.
He lays it down near Vargas and says, "Sorry, but I need you to stay up for a little bit longer there, mate." Vargas crawls his way over to it and takes out a set of tools and starts with surgical precision operating on the bomblet.
I'm gonna quietly crawl over there with the... I guess I don't have to crawl. I'm gonna quietly walk over there with my notepad and start asking about what's going on. You know, they'll walk up and be like, "So, Vargas, what's going on with this Akuzidi?"
It's failed. It looks like, failed to deploy properly. He says one of the little hinges at the front, he starts working it, and you can see that it, as he works it, he can like quite easily detach it, but it takes him a couple of goes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly what happened. There's a dent here. I reckon it hit a tree before it was able to deploy properly.
So that's these like things, a design flaw then, huh?
Yeah, this isn't shocking. He shows you the hinge work itself. You can see that it's rusted to shit. There's like clear, obvious damage to the device that existed probably before it was dropped.
That was going to be my next question, so... This looks like it was in bad shape before it even left wherever it was going. How long have these things been around?
I don't know. This looks like he starts scratching at the rust, and you see he can remove it quite easily. I think this is pretty quick damage. I think these things have been left out in the rain.
Hmm.
When they frankly just shouldn't be. It's a delicate device. Whoever was looking after it didn't know how to look after it.
You think maybe that's why it didn't deploy, aside from the tree?
Yeah, I reckon it was a problem exacerbated by hitting a tree.
Exacerbated? You've been alone too long.
He laughs. The sergeant, crouched down near you, says, "I'm going to go tell the lieutenant." He gets up and wanders away.
Yeah, that'll be a real feather in your cap. I think I'm going to go be asleep when he gets back. Something tells me he doesn't want to. If he feels like he loses face from this, he definitely doesn't want me to see it happen.
Bob is staring at the edge of the... There's like a small clearing that you've set yourselves up in. He's staring at the edge of the clearing. There's like a strange expression on his face. He leans up with his camera. His camera has like a, he doesn't always have it attached, but his camera has like a flash bulb, and he leans up with that. And you can see that the flash bulb is attached. Actually, maybe as he's bringing it up, you can see that he's like attaching it. So he's like very slowly with methodical movement, like he doesn't want to startle an animal or something like that. He brings up the camera and then takes a photo. The flash illuminates the jungle in front of him. And I'm going to get you to make a wits composure check.
What about, can I use a trained observer maybe to see if what it was he was looking at?
So when the flash illuminates the jungle, you see a shape moving through the trees. The shape is low and on all fours. In the flash, though, you can see it's sprinting away.
Like a, like an animal kind of thing?
Yeah, you know that tigers live in the jungle.
Motherfucker.
There's a, I don't know if you've ever heard the name of, have you ever heard of tiger traps before?
Yeah, those are the spike pit traps.
You are probably well-versed enough to know that those are not actually typically for soldiers.
Hmm.
There's a reason they're called tiger traps.
It's because they have stripes to blend into the tall grass, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. Yes. 100%.
They just, this, they take a pit, they cover it up, and then one guy gets out a bucket of black paint and just paintbrushes some stripes across.
That's it.
So you can't see.
That's exactly it. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm going
to
walk up.
And then sometimes the pit trap will try to kill a small man cub.
Yeah, that'll happen. Because it's afraid of fire. Yeah, he has the ability to use fire.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to walk up behind Bob and put my hand on his shoulder. Bobby, what did you see out there? Was that a tiger?
He nods slowly. He doesn't say anything. When you put your hand on his shoulder, I'm not going to make you roll for it. You can feel that he's trembling. The tiger would not have been very far from him. It would have been maybe like 20 feet.
Oh,
from him.
So he shot off that flesh to scare it away.
You're not 100% sure why he did the flash, but it did scare the tiger away.
I'm going to ask him that. I was like, did you see that thing coming?
I just saw something moving. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a man. I was so certain. He is quite obviously in shock.
All right. I'm gonna put my arm around him and start leading him back towards the other guys. They're like, let's see if we get you a cup of tea or something.
I just thought it was a guy, he says.
Yeah.
It just looked like a guy to me.
You know, it's dark out there, man. You're in a strange place. And listen, don't think about it right now, all right? Hey, listen.
All right.
We're both... How long did you live in New York?
10 years.
Yeah. Something in the jungle's gonna scare you?
You're right, he says.
Come on. All right, so yeah, we head back to the guys to see if we can't get him some water or something, make him comfortable.
Carson Summer, at the mention of tea, gets out a burner and a like little pot, and he starts brewing a cup of tea.
Oh.
The entire time, he starts waxing poetically about how you make a proper cup of tea. He has a lot of opinions on this topic.
I'm going to write them down.
He doesn't like tea bags. He thinks they're, because he says it's too old. That's exactly what he says. He just calls it too old. And if you don't ask to elaborate, he does not explain what he means
by
a tea
bag. Oh, I do. I do.
Well, what you got to understand is that when you get a tea bag, you're getting old pressed tea. That tea is not fresh. That tea's been around for months, maybe even a year or two. That's old tea.
Mm-hmm.
They put preservatives in that stuff. You can't drink that, he says. And sure enough, he brings out some loose leaf tea and he has like a little strainer. This is all kind of like a jungle equivalent. So he's not got proper teacups. He's got like metal discs that he's fashioned into teacups. He's not got a teapot. He's got the pan that he's using.
Right.
And the strainer is maybe like a sock that he has. He's gotten the threads of the sock and torn it a little, like torn threads out so that it's a bit more porous. Also, as well, you notice that he brings out a thermometer. It's probably like
Jesus.
It's probably like a repurposed medical rectal thermometer that is. He assures you has never seen the inside of someone's. It has never seen the inside of someone's moon.
My imagination can fill in the rest. I'm going to ask him, like, Summers, what are you doing out here in the infantry when you clearly have a chemistry degree?
Well, I was going to go. I was going to finish high school, but my ma said that I needed to step up. Dad was out of the picture, and someone needed to be the man of the house. I got 6 siblings, and someone needed to take care of them. The only way I saw that happening was...
Uncle Sam.
Uncle
Sam.
No. I wanted to be a painter. No, I got drafted.
What?
That's Adam laughing. He does not laugh.
I do. Or rather, Murray does. He just lets it out.
Bob asks, like, a canvas painter or painting houses? Oh, I wanted to be a painter with canvas.
Who are you, like, landscapes or portraits?
Like a Picasso, he says. He seems very
pleased with himself. Get the fuck out of here. Well, I am not one to, I am certainly not one to dissuade a man from following a desire to express himself.
Yeah, obviously, hard to bring canvas and paint out here, so I whittle instead.
I noticed that before, by the way, when you were playing cards.
It calms me, he says.
Oh, I'm going to have to buy a piece from you before I leave.
What do you want?
A tiger.
All right, I can do a tiger.
Just so long as it doesn't break the bank. I mean, I'm going to hang on to it. This is Summer's original. In a couple of years, when people are hanging your stuff up at the Louvre, I'm going to say, I knew that guy before he painted.
Damn right, he says. How late would you stay up tonight?
I'm actually going to try to get back to sleep basically as soon as we're done. Like, once everyone has calmed down and settled back in, I figure this is the kind of situation where you take as much sleep as you can when you can get it.
You curl back up into your sleeping bag. As you're falling asleep, you can hear the sounds of the jungle around you, and every so often... distantly, very distantly, but still audible, you feel like you hear the sounds of big cats moving about.
Shit. Do we have, like, tents, or are we... What's the sleeping situation?
No tents. No, just sleeping bags. Yeah.
I'm just going to look over to see if Bob is awake. I'm not going to, like, call to him, but if he's visibly awake, I don't want to wake him.
Bob seems to be sleeping soundly.
All right. Just close my eyes. And if I can't see the tigers, they can't see me. That makes good sense.
It does.
And I try to get to sleep.
The next day, you wake up to see Anello and Sergeant McGlade having like a whispered argument.
I'm going to walk over to them and say, "Morning, boys." Yeah.
As you approach, they end the argument.
Front desk didn't give me my wake-up call again.
McGlade gives you, like, a curt nod and a smile, but the smile doesn't reach his eyes.
Got it.
He's like, it's a performatively polite act.
Like the joke itself.
Yes. Yes, like the joke itself. Anello has no time for such pleasantries, and when you finish your joke, he simply stands up, turns around, and walks away.
Ah. It's not the...
We've got to get going, says McGlade.
Oh, what's... Can I ask what that was all about?
The lieutenant has realized that we are not where he thought we were, and somehow, despite the fact that we are technically ahead of schedule, we are not on his schedule.
Got it. You figure, did you... I take it you didn't manage to make him think that this was his idea.
He is upset that we have moved the device.
I thought we were supposed to find them. Was moving them not part of it?
I might have been a bit short with him. And as I was a bit short, he has dug his heels in.
Yeah, I got it. Did you get it fixed?
It's fixed. or at least he looks over at Orson Vargas, who you see has been listening to this conversation. Orson nods.
Vargas.
Morning, Vargas replies.
Any luck with that thing?
It's poorly built, but I fixed it.
Can I get Bob to get a picture of that?
Sure. Yeah, I don't mind. No skin off my teeth.
Hey, I'm going to get one of the, Bobby, get one of the thing. And then if the corporal doesn't mind, I'd love to get one with him, maybe like holding a screwdriver or something, you know, human interest. You got to get that angle. You know what I'm talking about.
Bob nods. He knows what you need. Orson Vargas holds the accoucid like it was a fish that he caught, so that
Summers, get in Bob, there too. You're the guy that found the thing.
Summer walks in and stands on the other side. It looks like a scene where it's a prize fish that they've caught.
That's perfect. You got to tell me what kind of jig you use when you catch those.
Summer looks quite pleased with himself and laughs at your joke. He gives it a hearty guff. As he's laughing, Bob takes the photo, and you would imagine that the photo would look decent, with Vargas on one side holding it up, looking very official, and then Summer on the other side looking quite pleased with himself and smiling.
Yeah, that sounds charming just to me sitting here thinking about it.
Yeah. Bob takes a couple more snaps. He takes some, like you directed, he takes some of Vargas miming fixing the device, despite the fact that it's already repaired. He maybe takes one. At one point, he turns around to McGlade, who has his arms crossed. McGlade is just like, he's not upset at any one of you. He's just generally annoyed at his current situation.
Balls.
Bob surreptitiously takes a photo of him looking grumpy.
Bob's a good photographer, man. That's my boy, Bobby.